strength I don't know how to play. And I don't want to anyway. Need to delete this game and go back to another save. But my hard drive sparked zero charisma, zero luck. I don't have any skills or the XP to fix my
Hello and welcome to the National Institute for Gamer Review. I am DK.
I am Lewis, and remember this whole thing. It's about video games, right?
It's a video game podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So first of all, I want to lead into this episode with a massive apology to DK and a mea culpa. Oh my God, was I wrong? The Mar movie is actually good. And I realize I don't have the context because I never, ever watch kids' movies or kids' movies about video games. But we were at the tail end of a meetup, where I'm at. And we're like, oh, let's throw on a fucking movie. And we were, drinking. And, it was like, most people have gone home. And we saw on a streaming service that the Sonic 2 movie was there. And we're like, oh, this will be hilarious. We'll watch the Sonic 2 bullshit in the... put it on in the background, and that it was so bad and so brutal, and like the it was like a terrible kids movie. Obviously had like terrible, it was just the, there was like immediately like mixed race couple like is raising Sonic. I didn't watch Sonic 1, the live action Sonic movie, but apparently he has like, he's the adopted son of a mixed race couple. It's also just like terrible. Like, it's a terrible film and it doesn't make any sense at all. Unless Jim Carrey is on screen. And literally Idris Elba like is playing Knuckles, and I was just laughing my ass off at like the Idris Elba, the meme of like, oh, just have Idris Elba play whatever. So if it wasn't Idris Elba or Jim Carrey on screen, it was nearly unwatchable. There's a bizarre, like, anti-Russian portion of it, where Sonic goes to Siberia. It's a bizarre and terrible movie, and I didn't realize that, like, oh, this is why the Mario movie is good. Because it's watchable. It's not, you're not actively cringing.
The entire time, yes.
Yeah. So,
no, holy, I was cringing. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Like, when you're in an airplane, you can see other people's screens. And I saw just enough of the someone watching Sonic 2 to understand. I was like, oh, my God, this is what an abortion.
Dude, it's terrible. It is like funny. It's bad. So bad. Like, OK, there's this whole narrative. Like, I don't want to just analog the Sonic 2 movie, but it's the mother or aunt, some older figure. In some kind of maternal figure in the black mixed race couple of 30 Sonics, like she's getting like remarried to a much younger man who's also black, and he's like jacked and like is dunking on the dad in the mixed race couple raising Sonic thing, and it's really a bizarre, it's like a bizarre like kind of racial cuck kind of thing going on, like where he's just so much more Chad than the white guy. And then it turns out like he is actually catfishing like on behalf of the US government. He's a federal agent catfishing the black maternal figure of the Sonic's mom to like kidnap Sonic because he's an alien. And like, they're actually all like him and all his groomsmen are all actually federal agents. And that was, so I laughed my ass off at that. That was, it was legitimately hilarious. Like the whole wedding is a farce. Like the preacher, everyone in the wedding party, including the priest, is like works for the FBI. They just say like federal agency. They don't say which federal agency, but it's very, ATF.
and they thought it was someone's dog.
It's really bad. I mean, there's some things that are so bad it's funny, but
atrocious. Like, I didn't realize it was quite. Wow.
Yeah.
Speechless.
Yeah. Yeah, but so yeah, the Mario movie, I can see why it's worth it. You know, it is far and away better than the Sonic 2 product.
I think we've been like, you know, everybody's been on a kick about A-logging Disney, and we kind of did some of that in our episode on the Mario movie. I just think it's, I don't know, it's an interesting, in a way, it almost feels, I guess not end of history, but in the sense that like Fukuyama was right, not obviously in the way he meant, and eventually history will restart regardless, but it really does feel not so much geopolitically, but culturally. I think Paul Scalise has been saying this for a while, but especially lately on Twitter, making a point of how everything froze. I mean, McNabb was saying something similar. Everything froze, like, I don't know, 2007 or thereabouts, and kind of calcified. And there really hasn't been the way you had just these even just variety, like real meaningful. Everything is the same gay mush. It's I don't know. Was there any gay subtext in the movie, or was that mercifully absent?
No, I don't think there was any gay. Well,
that's good, subtext. At least I guess. I mean, unless you want to say like race mixing is gay, which it is, but yeah.
Yeah, but. I mean, in some things were just like bizarre. Like, while the Sonic's white dad is getting, like, you know, BTFO by the groomsman and the federal agent, who are like going to be his, I guess, father-in-law, whatever. Wow. They're like playing like volleyball, and they're like losing to the federal agents badly, and it's like inexplicably shirts versus skins, and the actor playing Sonic's dad is like a kind of a very Chad archetype guy, just movie star, handsome and very muscular. But he keeps his like he has like a too big t-shirt on, so he looks cuckier compared to the literally every race federal agent squad, who are like all shirtless and jacked. It's really bizarre. It was funny in that it was so bad, and some scenes were just like unwatchable. But I just want to point out how like good the Mario movie was. Like, the Mario movie was actually like there was stuff going on there. There was like it feels like it was like, you know, more effort. I have no idea what's going on. I am so happy that I watched it, because I can now realize like whatever I was talking about the Mario movie, but is this like what every kid's movie is now? I guess it is, right?
Like, yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. I was trying to say like it's all just it's all quite unwatchable. I mean, and I mean that basically literally. I don't understand how people sit through any of this. I guess part of it is the new thing, which I do myself, is to like have your phone out while you're watching something at home, because nobody goes to the movies. You're watching stuff at home.
I did have my phone out.
Yeah. So like, I guess that sort of makes it almost tolerable depending on the product. Yeah. I don't know how people would watch stuff otherwise. I don't think it's really possible.
Yeah. So changing gears from that, like what we kind of paradoxically, as soon as you start a video game podcast, you kind of stop playing video games. It's kind of how it works. Or movie podcast, you stop watching movies, you know. But I've been actually playing a lot of games, so I kind of want to just do this talk about games episode. Have you been playing anything much recently?
I have actually. I was playing some amount of Company Heroes 3, which I could get into what it kind of interesting disaster that's turned into, but and then I got sucked into Doom Eternal actually, and I wanted to do that with Alex, but I also have some, and then I was like, which I felt guilty about, because we want to do an episode on Atomic Heart, And I was like, well, shit, if I'm playing this first person shooter, then, well, whatever. But it's also part of it is Atomic Heart is on. I have it for the PlayStation, but I don't. It's hard for me with, you know, younger children to be able to play extremely violent. Like the PlayStation is not, I guess I could maybe hook it up to my monitor. That's a whole other, that was what I really want to talk about video game wise was monitors, which has become just this extremely sore topic for me. But what have you, the short answer to your question is I not super recently, but since last we really did a video game episode, I've been playing Company Heroes 3 and Doom Eternal. What about yourself?
Okay. I paid the cuck, whatever Microsoft's cuck, $15 a month thing you get access to like a ton, like
almost all the games, including new releases from what I
yes understand. But they have this really interesting new feature that I'm really surprised about and how well it works relatively is that it's like game streaming. You don't need to download the 60 gigabyte whatever game to play it.
Well, for most so of last these games time, yeah, which is like
It's in beta, but it's functional. It work? It's totally functional. I was going to
say, because Google had the Stadia, was their attempt at doing an entirely cloud-based platform. That had other issues, including, from what I understand, essentially you would purchase the title just for that. Like, in other words, it's essentially you're playing it on a PC, but if you buy the title, you can't use your Steam library on the rented PC, and you can't, once you buy the Stadia title, you couldn't then like actually just install it on your personal computer, among other like problems with the server. And anyway, they ended up folding after I think less than 2 years.
And so in general, Stadia, if I contract Stadia at an orgy, you just take antibiotics, like,
like yeah, you know,
is it drug resistance? You know, like I say Stadia, oh, it always sounded like a some kind of like Giardia, you know, like
right, yes,
some kind of you know gay disease. But yeah, no, but this works because you don't have to pay for the products, like you don't have to purchase products to play it. So I've been able to sample products.
Why would you do that on the Xbox, or is it just until it finishes downloading is the idea?
You can download them, but it's, you know, these things are, games are huge now, unless you have like a...
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
like you can't actually keep that many games on your Xbox.
But how many are you playing at one time? I mean, I get what you're saying.
Well, it lets you sample, like, oh, I wanted to play... Yeah. I used to like Assassin's Creed. Let me play the one in Greece, but I don't want to like stop everything and download game.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is, well, like 120 gigabytes or something. Yeah.
So yeah. I don't want to like do that, you know, just like walk away for 2 hours and then come back and play it, right? So I've been able to sample a lot of games. Some games have actually like been enjoyable and, you know, I've been surprised. And some games, obviously not so much. You know, you get to, but the thing is, when you get to low investment, you can kind of bounce off.
Okay, so what games have made the biggest impression?
So, also there, some of these games don't run well on this, and it's hard to tell if it's just running poorly or it's the service. But I played Star Wars Battlefront 2 2020, whatever the newest release of it. I played that campaign, and it really felt like. Perfect. Like I couldn't, there was.
Sorry, this is Star Wars?
Yes, the Star Wars Battlefront series.
Oh, Battlefront. Okay.
Yeah, the new Battlefronts. Right. I wanted to try those out. I have some, you know, latent.
I like Star Wars, the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter one from a few. I didn't end up playing that much of it, but
that game I did. I said that I love that sample that as well.
How would you think?
So I played up until it does this really like it's obvious it's like the gay like there's like. The Empire is now a bunch of chicks and brown people, and also some whites because it's the Empire and they're the bad guys, and the rebels are like, you know, mostly brown but or aliens in the starfighter thing.
Yeah,
like
I just ignored the campaign. Like that was
started. I really enjoyed the ability to fly by instruments in the game, like not have a HUD, like all the HUD is like displayed on your look down at your
yeah, that's super cool.
And there was, so that was cool. I played until the end of the Imperial. Basically there's like, it has like you do a couple missions as the Imperials. The first mission is like attack and shoot down the refugee ships from Alderaan. It's And then, of course, your commander. I was anticipating it would make the player cuck and like switch sides, like Battlefront does. We'll get into that later. But it like has your commanding officer cuck and defect to the rebels and like stops you from blowing up the refugee ships. But it has like the thing where it's like on and off. Some you do some rebel campaign and some imperial campaign, and the imperial campaign is like very fun. And I enjoyed it a lot. And then it gives you like a hard, like, all right, the Imperial campaign is over now. Now it's the rest of this is going to be all rebels. Like it gives like you've achieved all, you know, good job guys. The rebel, you blow up the rebel Death Star, basically equivalent. Like they give the rebels a Death Star kind of, which is whatever. And then you blow it up. And this is like, all right, there's no more Imperial missions. So I just stopped playing the, campaign at that point. But then I also, after that, I played the Battlefront 2, and Battlefront 2 has a better, like, fighter plane simulator, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like a less, it's like less arcadey and more unforgiving. Like, you can crash, like, it's, you can't crash your starfighter in the starfighter, you know? Like, if you run it full speed into a, you know, a Star Destroyer, you'll just, like, you'll take, like, you know, half damage and bounce off. Mm-hmm. And in Battlefront, you will just explode. I don't know I assumed like, you know, I guess it's just less fun if you're constantly exploding, doing these like trench runs and stuff. But, I really enjoyed the Battlefront shooting. It felt really good. Like you could, like modern shooters have kind of, it's just like, I think it's just like, you gotta spend a lot of money to get this, but shooting in modern shooters feels, if it's a, you know, AAA game, is going to feel good. And it felt very good in the Battlefront, whatever. And I played on like they had like the hardest difficulty, which they called like not realism, but like they called it like, you know, it gives you like equivalent health to like a, you know, a NPC in Star Wars, you know, like you will go down if somebody just shoots you a lot. Like one enemy can like flank you and kill you pretty quick. And you have to get like headshots to knock people down quickly. It was a good, it was short though. That's the thing, is all these like games that are like multiplayer focused, this new kind of new AAA thing where you have a very, yes, a very short campaign that's basically just a kind of a tutorial plus. Then it goes into like, you know, you're supposed to enjoy the multiplayer. I bounced right off the multiplayer. It just didn't seem as fun as the, it just seemed like Call of Duty Star Wars. Whereas the campaign had some more,
right?
Yeah. But the campaign had like a little more balancing and, you know, like you're fighting waves and waves of enemies in a very Star Warsy fashion, you know? Like, they will advance straight at you. And it does do the thing where you cuck and, like, join the rebellion, which is whatever. Very gay. But, you know, it's kind of inevitable. And you're playing as a woman, but once again, like, whatever. I am, you know, I think the take that Gamergate was, like, had just fully lost is true. Gamergate was a failure. And if you want to play base video games, you can. And some of them are pretty good. You know, you can play all your Paradox games or your RTSs. But like whatever. Like also, that's the thing with this new service, is you don't have to buy like the game. You can just sample the game. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know they have a similar service. I think with the identical library or close to it on the PC, which
It is the same. It's the same service. Yeah. I think I could, if I was to hook up my PC to this service, I could play it as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting. I mean, it's funny, like in kind of broad historical terms, it used to be computer, you know, the most computation was done on big central mainframes, and you would interact with it via a remote terminal. And then computing got, I don't know if I exactly say democratized, but certainly spread out. You know, people. And you still, I mean, that's kind of one of the interesting things to me is technology is kind of, I don't know, converge in a place where, like you always had, I mean, if you wanted to do graphics editing or something like that, you always needed essentially a powerful GPU going back to the 90s. But now it's not just like, you know, if you want to run Photoshop, which you could actually run perfectly fine on your CPU or even Blender or something like that. It's, GPUs have, I think, in a lot of ways become like just the like general purpose computing monsters. It's an interesting release for certain kinds of or essentially what they are, as far as I mean, I'm not a super expert on this stuff, but essentially they're matrix algebra units. They're just optimized for matrix algebra, but to like a really crazy degree. And it turns out that like matrix algebra is just an extraordinarily useful branch of computation. And so then you have this dynamic where like you have just in some ways unparalleled, you know, unfathomable, even of a, as of like a decade ago, levels of matrix algebra computation power in you know, the current flagship GPUs, the 4090 and the 7900 XTX are really both just insane monsters, but they're both also on their own. One is like $1,000, one is like $1,600, or at least that was the price when they launched. I think it's come down a little now. So it's, you know, the price of a mid-range system just by itself. So what do you do in that kind of a situation? Well, one of the things that you do is you stick 100 of them in a giant mainframe, and then you leverage how cheap bandwidth is and how fast connection speeds have gotten to like re-centralize all that computation. Even as, you know, in some ways there's more like if you're a hobbyist in anything that could even potentially, I mean, AI is obviously the hot thing right now, but it's not just AI, is also kind of just a lot of matrix algebra, just with, you know, arranged differently. But you know, any kind of data analysis, any kind of anything that could be turned into a matrix algebra type problem, any kind of analysis of any kind of you know, signal, any kind of just all kinds of stuff. It's absurd the amounts of power that are now at your fingertips for $1,000. But if you don't want to spend $1,000 on a thing to play games, you can spend a couple hundred dollars and have someone do all that fancy matrix algebra for you. So yeah, I don't know how to.
Yeah, well, there also is another funny issue where, like, I can't tell if these games are actually badly optimized. If, like, I've played some games that didn't run too good. Like, there's some double A and single A. Like, there was this, what's it called? Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's like some, you play, it's like a guerrilla warfare simulator. You play in, like, Sweden. Like, Sweden has been invaded by an enemy in, like, 1990s Sweden. But the enemy is like just robots. It's not people. So like, anything interesting.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff like the laws have changed a little bit, especially in that up through the like late 2000s. A lot of that stuff was illegal. Like in Germany, by German law, you could not have blood in video games. And so Command & Conquer, all those kinds of things, all those kind of games, literally everything. They were all robots and they like spurted out green tranny fluid or whatever. Like it wasn't. You know, and that was like by German statutory.
But this was like I think it was like a double A or single A game, and it didn't feel so good, and I couldn't tell because I'm not downloading this like this like whatever bullshit game.
Yeah, right.
That if it was like badly, but then I did. I've been remiss. It's been a while since he bought this one. But a fan of the show purchased Borderlands 3 for me on the Xbox.
Oh, okay.
And I've been meaning to play it. And it's not on this service, but I did have it downloaded, you know, while I was on this kick. Because I remember, I'm doing all this gaming. Because he really wanted me to play it, and I'm going to keep playing it. And I'm actually, like, I really enjoyed Borderlands 1, and then Borderlands ruined, like, half of all shooters by every shooter becoming Borderlands, you know? Like, the shooting a guy
The numbers. The looter shooter genre that was, like,
not just that, but the numbers. Oh, yeah. Like, that's what Destiny is.
But like I played 10 minutes of the Destiny demo on the PlayStation 4 like 6 years ago. So
like
more.
For me, it's like picks up video games.
Destiny 2 was out. Yeah,
my shooter experience is often like picks up game, shoots enemy, numbers pop out, day ruined.
Yeah.
Like when I see numbers popping out of guys, it's just like, oh, this is
terrible.
Oh
god, this, yeah.
Why are we doing this? But I have a good bit of nostalgia for Borderlands 1 because I was the first one of those, and I played with my friends, you know, when I was way too young to play that game. Like, way too young to be playing that in retrospect. but he insists that there's this massive, it gets really insane. I don't know what he means by insane, but it's like he said the last third of it is pretty crazy. Whether he means that in like cringe or whatever, I don't know. And it's already like a, it's just Borderlands with more libtard cringe, but it is just like Borderlands, and it's not trying to do anything more than that. There's just like now the NPCs are some NPCs are gay or whatever, but the game still feels like really good and just feels like Borderlands. It's a lot easier than Borderlands 1, a lot easier. But other than that, you know, also I'm better at video games than I was when I was, you know, fucking like, you know, in middle school. So, you know, fair enough. I might just be, you know, be better now. But the, like, it's really badly optimized or something. Something is very wrong with that game. Like, textures, and Borderlands has this, like, kind of, you know, scale, cell shading art style where it kind of has, like, a comic book feel to it.
The, are you running that locally, or are you?
I'm running that locally. I'm running this locally because I want, because it's not on the streaming service, I don't think. But like, you know, Borderlands 3 is not a new game, right? Like you can play it on a, you know, and then, but I, everything has like the, a really basic layer from like when you're far away, you know, and you can't see things too clearly. And then like a, so it's like a basic texture. And then when you're close to it, you can actually see it well, you know, it's got like a high, a good texture. And like, this is even like enemies and NPCs, but it just doesn't render in the, you have to like, you will like be talking to, walk up to an NPC and like their face hasn't gotten detailed yet. And then it'll get detailed like halfway through.
That sounds like the other kind of streaming problem, like the engine streaming asset problem.
Yeah. Yeah. The old BioWare issue with the,
which
you
is,
know.
Which is well known. Yeah. Right. Which is, yeah. And that's just a constant. Supposedly, I think Unreal Engine 5 is supposed to,
yeah.
To,
but this was the worst I'd ever seen it. Exactly. I think it's because the way they do the texture thing. With like the cell shading, and that like it's a, it's not like it, I mean it's just a texture. It's just a texture still, but I think it's because it's like a, in a BioWare game, like people's like get like parts of their face would get like a little fuzz or a little tearing or something like that. But because it loads it as like a cell shaded asset as opposed to like rendering this person with all these pixels. Well, I'm very simplifying it. There's pixels involved the whole way down, but if it doesn't sometimes pop in, it looks much worse.
Yeah.
So, but I also am enjoying it. I'm enjoying a lot of like, of the shitty, you know, tranny black women video games. Like they're still, you know, pretty good. They're totally fine. And then of course I'm still playing the base MechWarrior 5 a lot because that game's nice. Really good. MechWarrior 6.
You play mostly single player.
I do. I would like to. I think you can. We can jump in if you want to, because it's a, you know, cross play, all that stuff. And
yeah, might have to do that at some point. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Although I am somewhat excited for Armored Core 6. Looks like it's going to be.
I've never played an Armored Core game in my life. So
I like the original on the PlayStation. It's just. I mean, it's very similar in a lot of ways. I think this one's looking to be a little bit more just like Dark Souls with the robot. It's, you know.
Oh, okay. That's very different from MechWarrior, but yeah.
Right, yeah. So I don't know.
Is there a lot of melee combat in Armored Core?
Sometimes.
Because I don't know how you do a Dark Souls.
Oh, no, not in the sense of, just more in the kind of like, more in the sense of a straight up, third person action
yeah
with okay. Like with high mobility, right? You're not
okay, like, so like near clunky. Automata kind of thing.
Yeah like you're not super clunky.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I like that. I like the robots to be a little clunky.
I like robots to be clunky. Yeah, that's the other thing. And I saw on note of giant clunky robots,
that's a Japanese versus American thing. The Japanese like it all to be sleek and fast and Gundam-y, you know.
Yes.
Whereas Westerners like their walking like tanks.
Yes. Very much so. No, the first front mission for the Super Nintendo, which never until now got a proper official release. You had to download the ROM and do like a hex code patch for the translation back in like 1990, whatever, if you wanted to play the first front mission for the Super Nintendo, which I only discovered after I really enjoyed the third front mission, also for the original PlayStation. Basically, like one of the, you know, turn-based Final Fantasy Tactics type game, just with robots, and yeah, everybody's. It seems there's a bit of a maybe it's because of the war in Ukraine. I don't know. I don't want to talk too much about it or necessarily at all. But I'm just mentioning it because I'm trying to come up with reasons why giant robots might suddenly be on everyone's mind. I don't know.
Yeah, I also think. Well, I mean, BattleTech and MechWarrior are have like there's always they've been like playing second fiddle to 40K for a long time.
Long time. That's true. Yeah.
And 40K
is in an interesting spot. Yes,
it seems desperately trying. So I don't. We didn't get this too much in the BattleTech episode. We didn't really A-log 40K that much. Hardly but 40K changes like it's as a tabletop game. The rules of 40K change like monthly. You know, there's like they're constantly errating things and like doing stuff. And because they run like a big competitive scene officially, they're always changing the rules to like address things in the competitive scene and making new units and rebalancing new units. And as a part of this, they like in the same way, not as brutal as like Magic cards, but certain like if units are like they no longer like you can buy the model for a unit
that you can't use it in a game or a competitive game. Play. Yeah.
And they always say, well, if you want to play this, go back and play like an eighth edition game. But like every edition is fixing what was messed up in the previous edition. Like, so 8th edition wasn't good.
I've never really played hardly any 7th or 8th or 9th tabletop at all. But my impression is that it's just never been particularly well balanced and that Games Workshop themselves is not particularly interested in establishing like
a well-balanced... I think they are constantly doing it, but they're always pulled in different directions by like, also they are selling models and they are a modeling company. So they will make a new model or a new faction to sell. And therefore they will make it very powerful.
So the Tiger Ace from Company Heroes 2 effect.
Yeah. And also the lore has books have gotten like gayer. For sure. Yeah,
that I'm also familiar with. And I think there's also a kind of market saturation where there was a time where they really wouldn't hardly put out anything at all, including anything that they thought would even remotely compete with the tabletop. And now it's just, there's just a lot of 40K video, just a lot of 40K video games.
And BattleTech is like very much the opposite. Like the rules don't change at all much. If you want to play like new stuff, like what they're currently releasing and changing, it's like in different, I don't know, weight classes. Like you play a game of BattleTech in a certain era. So like up until XYZ year where your game is being set, everything before that is in play, right?
Yeah. So they kind of built in that kind of a mechanism. So if you want to have, you know, crazy, you know, rocket launchers on a light frame mech or whatever, you can just, okay, that's fine. That goes in the late era.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that they made, no model ever goes out of style. Some models don't have models actually official yet because of like it's a small company. Like you have to buy third party stuff to play. Like these,
if you want a miniature, you mean?
Yeah, like if you want a miniature of an infantry unit for certain infantry units, like they just like, don't have them. And they also support like 3D printing and all the third party stuff really well. And also the games are, I think, there's a lot of 40K games, right? And there's very few BattleTech games, but all the BattleTech games are all pretty good.
So I wanted to talk, this is maybe a good, that was the other game that I've actually like, okay, maybe this is a good chance to talk about the Harebrained Schemes BattleTech game, which when I actually backed on Kickstarter, I was psyched at the chance to find, because I'd never really gotten into BattleTech tabletop and they were saying all this stuff about, oh, this is going to be reasonably faithful adaptation of tabletop. I'm like, okay, cool. Sounds great. And you know, finally the game is released and I start it up and the intro cinematic is fantastic. Awesome music. I get, you know, the 2-minute download of the history of the Inner Sphere, blah, 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 Star League. Okay. 3 minutes later, it's trannies. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it immediately, I'm like, I just couldn't. So I sat and waited, which is good, apparently, because I guess they've had a bunch of, in a very similar way to MechWarrior. That was actually like, so I, after our episode, I actually refunded MechWarrior 5 because I hadn't played that much of it. And because I was like, okay, well, the thing is, nothing was on sale. And I know that I can get, I don't want to play, per your recommendation, I didn't want to get, I wanted to get all of the DLC so that I have the best experience, but that was going to cost like $100, $80 or something. It was just like, I'm not going to drop that right now. I'm going to wait for it to go on sale and then I'm going to buy the whole thing for half of that at most. So the thing was, I had, and I guess with BattleTech, the table, the whatever, the game is called just BattleTech for the PC, because of the Kickstarter and the bonus, blah, 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 I actually had all the DLC already. So I was like, okay, so let me get into, let me get into BattleTech. And I was looking at it now, and since, you know, in the years since it was released, they have all this cool DLC and urban settings and heavier mechs and blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. So I go to look on Nexus Mods, because I'm like, okay, well, I'm not, if there's any way for me not to have to look at trannies while I'm playing this game, like, that's what I'm gonna do. And presumably anybody had some kind of way for me to avoid doing that. There weren't a whole lot of options, but there were a couple. And but then I noticed that it was like, basically, some of the changed portraits were loading, but not all of them. So I did some digging, and it turns out they require this software they're calling ModTech, which like mods the BattleTech PC game. Which apparently now there's also a mod or a couple, but one in particular that's essentially just the tabletop. Like it's from what I understand, supremely autistic. Basically just the tabletop. Like they all the stuff, all the compromises they made, or the directions they went in were slightly different from tabletop for the PC game. Of all that's been stripped out, and they just done the tabletop, which sounds really cool, but it also requires ModTech. And I was like, why the hell is none of this working? Well, it turns out ModTech, it can't be in your program files folder in your C drive or whatever drive. It can't be in program files because of something Windows permissions. Okay, so you need to install it in a different folder, except Steam only lets you have one Steam apps folder per lettered drive. So I'm like beating my head against the wall. I want to play this game. I just don't want to look at tranny. So that's been my experience of like, quote unquote, playing the game of BattleTech.
This is what you get for your fucking nostalgia in that episode. Oh, I loved flipping switches in my fucking cart. Oh, I sure did like, you know, running whatever bullshit. Was it Matrix stuff on Command and Conquer? Whatever it was on
the IRQ, the interrupt.
Yeah, Oh, that wasn't that so great doing the IRQ. We were so smart, guys, and then immediately just you immediately get what you fucking deserve. You fucking
boomer. Yes.
Yes, you've been owned. You were so fucking smart in the fucking 1998 guy.
Oh my god! Yeah, I was just like this. I haven't had to deal with this level of bullshit. I can't. Yeah, basically since like 1998. It was absurd. So I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna go play some.
I tried to play some ROM versions of some like Game Boy Advance games that I remembered from just like a nostalgia wave that also hit, and the games run fine, but the music was it's really good in a lot of these like Game Boy Advance games. Like notoriously, the Japanese are really kicking ass back then.
The Castlevania soundtracks were rocking as fuck. Yeah. Sorry.
Go on. Mean, everything that Konami touched in that era, because they got really into like the sound, whatever this, I guess it's a sound card, whatever you call it, whatever the sound device was in the Game Boy Advance. And like they used its limitations very well and like its exact, you know, specs. So when you try to
run it, even the original Nintendo, they did really well. I mean, you know,
it's great. But when you run an emulator of that, your power is different, and the game still runs, but your banging soundtracks just go to shit.
Yeah, and I actually – so, while we're talking – I'm going to have to talk – this is like a preview for our Doom episode that we're going to do with Alex. But, yeah, so when I was – because I never – I dicked around with a lot of games, but I was also, like, young. And I don't know. So, anyway, I didn't play that much Doom until later in life. And when I was playing the original Doom, it was all obviously in DOSBox, and Sound Blaster emulation is a very sore spot among enthusiasts. And there are literally so the kind of the gold standard for reproduction of the Sound Blaster sound, which is distinct, and it was physically because this was essentially like the computer was sending MIDI signal, like a MIDI code to your sound device. And depending on the sound device, it would sound how the sound device interpreted the MIDI signal. So it's essentially like a physical layer. And so it's a kind of almost a physical instrument that makes things sound very different depending on what it is. Anyway, so it's some Roland devices like the gold standard. People consider it the best. And they don't obviously make them anymore. You can find them for a couple $100 used on eBay, or you can pay. Roland still exists, and you can pay them like $70. And this was several years. This was years ago. I don't know what they charge now, but probably the same or 100 or whatever. But you pay basically the better part of $100 for like a software emulation by Roland of this physical device that will then output that signal to your like Windows, regular Windows. It's like an audio layer inside your loop in the Windows audio side. So yeah. And I didn't do that. I did something that was like, I'm not going to go that far for it, but it's an interesting, the whole video game music thing is, and how I was thinking about this too. Also with CRTs had a very similar thing where like cathode ray tubing, old school monitors were retarded heavy and, inherently limited in certain ways as far as like resolution. I mean, it's just hard to get. It's a physical beam of electrons essentially that you're manipulating. To produce a picture. I mean, but the CRTs were like the very. I remember it's the very first Super Nintendo emulators, no less than the ones today. And I'm talking, emulators in the 1990s had like smoothing features built in because pixel perfect representations of the underlying Super Nintendo code just look completely different on an LCD monitor.
Yeah. I actually ran into this when I was playing Chrono Trigger for the,
yes, this is the most notorious example. Yes.
Where I was like, pixel game, whatever, but it's like actually not supposed to be like,
Game. On a CRT in 1996, it did not look like that. It just physically did not look that way. Yeah. Yeah. So it's an interesting, and you know, how do you like, I don't think there's any adjusting for it. There's only adjusting for it, but there's no solving it. Yeah. It's an interesting kind of wrinkle, but it does. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of bouncing off things on my, now that I can play these games for like whatever, I did download Battlefield 2042.
Okay.
The new one, and right. You couldn't. It was interesting enough conceptually that I decided I would download it because it didn't have the it was not in the beta program for the game streaming thing.
Sure.
So I downloaded it. It's been like, I think I did it overnight or whatever. Cause it's like, I think 80 something gigabytes or whatever, and I boot it up and I begin the tutorial, which begins like, so there's no story mode, which I guess it's a Battlefield game. Battlefield games don't always have stories. Although I was really enjoyed the Bad Company stuff, both 1 and 2. So I like a Battlefield story, but I'll go with it. But it, like, so the tutorial is like, I guess, the only story, and it's like in the future of 2042, it's Russia versus the U.S. are the only two, like every other country is basically collapsed and they're fighting over resources, but they're using these armies of no-pats who are refugees, like that have to fight as mercenaries for the Russia or the U.S. So, like, you're not playing as Russia or the U.S. You're playing as these, like, sad refugees forced into military service to fight over resources. And it was like, and I had to sit through like a 2.5 minute cutscene of just like this, like, oh, refugees, and global warming. And I was like, well, this game better be really fucking good. And it was just Battlefield, so I stopped playing it. I have some tolerance for, it's a tranny. Like, I don't really give a shit. Like, tolerance. But it does make my, like, what the game has to be, like, the minimum quality really ratchets up into what I'll accept, you know? So, like, so far, I guess apparently it takes a turn. I've found Borderlands, which is full of dumb shit and gay stuff and gay characters. And there's, like, very few male characters, actually. Like, not even counting the gay ones or straight ones. Like, there's just not a lot of, like, it's a lot of female characters. And there's some cringe Borderlands. Borderlands has always been kind of cringe anyway. Like, the writing was it was always, you know, a little bit cringe. But, like, the actual gameplay is still, like, Borderlands and fun. And everything feels really good. Like, the guns are all of them, like, are kind of chunky, you know? They recoil real good. But Battlefield, like, not so much. It just feels like, oh, like, this is, like, Battlefield always feels a little bit off. Like, Battlefield never felt as good as Call of Duty. And every game now kind of has gotten to, like, just a couple of hairs below Call of Duty in, like, how good the shooting feels. But Battlefield still feels just markedly worse. And I just don't... I really, I guess I'm the true zoomer. Like, I don't... I can deal with the gay shit, just not... The game has to be, like, really good. And a lot of games aren't really good, I guess, is my problem. Conversely, with... what's it called? What's the game you still need to play? The Russian one.
Atomic Heart.
Yes. Atomic Heart does stuff that doesn't feel great, but it has, like, no gay shit. So my standards for my standards were lower for it, probably. I still very much enjoyed it, and it felt great. It felt really good, actually. But I definitely, like, didn't need to put up, like, the bullshit shields to enjoy it, which is, I think, always a good credit to the game. I was talking I was talking to the same guy who got me about Borderlands, and he was like, oh, I've just watched, like, Primal. It's that some, like, animated show. I think it's, like, Adult Swim or HBO, about a guy, a dinosaur, a caveman and a dinosaur. And I'm like, yeah, I watched, like, a couple of episodes of that and bounced off it. And he goes, like, oh, no, you don't get it. I watched it, and there's no pause at all. It's great. Like, the actual quality, like, there's this, like, greater, I think most people have this greater demand for quality if they're going to put up with gay shit. And people are actually much more willing to accept, like, much simpler or less sophisticated stuff if it's just not, like, really fucking gay.
Yeah. I mean, I am. You know, yeah. It doesn't replace the need for basic, you know, narrative coherence or whatever. But, yeah, that'll just not having to deal with that shit. I mean, I see both sides of that. I mean, I understand why. It's frustrating for the death panel, you know, Mike and Sven and also Alex, I guess, but for everybody, you know, the problem with Disney A-logs, to circle back you don't want it to be a substitute for political activity or to think that consuming product passively is political,
I brought this up at the end of my episode. I was on White Papers. It's going to come out, I guess, in a week or two. But we talked about our topic, and I'm calling it the seed oil paradox, where you can have this thing you're interested in, but if you totally won and, like, all seed oils were replaced with butter and olive oil and all video games were, like, we got to do Gears of War forever. We got to do, like, you know, 20. Yeah. We got to do 2009
and 2 forever.
Yeah, 2009 video games. Like, just if culture froze in 2009 video games, right? all these stuff would be nice or better, but they actually don't mean we win. So it's actually, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And like,
I don't eat seed oils. Like, you know, I'm not vaxxed. Like, it's not that I, but it's just like,
my hot take is I use seed oils because I know how to fucking cook. And if you don't use seed oils, you're a terrible cook. Start. It's just the way it is. Like, there are points that sometimes you need to use vegetable oil. Like, I'm sorry. If you don't, like, if you're using olive oil
has a low smoke point. If instead of that, you can use, depending on the
you can use some kind of seed oil.
No, you don't need that. You have coconut.
Oh, it's refined. It's only $40 an ounce, bro. Like,
no, refined coconut is not $40 an ounce. It's not that expensive.
Whatever.
Refined coconut oil. Also, how much oil are you using? Refined coconut oil, butter or / ghee, and olive oil. That's what you need. Those are like the three that covers. I can't. Or, and then maybe like a specialty oil if you really want. Like for proper fried rice, you need sesame oil. It just is how it is and stuff. Some stuff like that. But those three oils got you covered for anything. You do not need.
What if you want to like need canola, fry something?
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. You refine coconut. You could reuse your frying oil too. Like refined coconut oil, you fry it and then you strain it, and you can keep using that just about indefinitely.
Yep. Do you bike to Whole Foods to pick it up, or like whatever? Doesn't matter.
It literally doesn't matter. Like that's the main point is like I have you know I have my snobby opinions about food or whatever, but I'm not gonna.
I've also seen you make coffee. So like.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean exactly. And that's the thing is like, and same thing with video games, right? Is it doesn't like it doesn't don't it would be nice, but it wouldn't meant that we won. And it also just doesn't matter. I don't know. It's
That being said,
it is objectively, I mean, just in terms of how it feels, I mean, objectively, subjectively, right? Like it is objectively a breath of fresh air and relieving not to have to put up with a bunch of faggot trannies, et cetera, in NVIDIA. And when, you know, it makes me more positively disposed towards something I might 10 years ago have been not necessarily as positively disposed towards just because of that. And I don't think that's necessarily a problem. It's just is what it is.
And seeing this, I don't want to hate on it. Like I like it. I like the idea. It just came out right. I just saw it was like announced in beta, like the American Krogan, who's like a patriot alternative adjacent guy. I'm not hating the project, but like he did this thing where he's launched a super ambitious like mod of Fallout 4 to make it like
white. Yes.
Or to remove all the pause. And I don't think that's like a bad project, but I think that's kind of the example of like, you know, well, what if we made Fallout 4 but good? Okay, cool. That's a cool idea. I like this, but like, is it a political act to play based Fallout 4? Like,
well, the politics of that then become like, obviously, I don't, you know, then. When it gets banned from Nexus mods immediately, right?
Yeah,
like that.
No, I like it. I think it's a cool project. Like, I wish I could have a game. I wish I had the time and the know-how to do this for games I like. You know, I see it as like there's also an extreme work of effort and talent and skill. And like, bro, if you would have made a Final Fantasy Tactics ripoff that was somewhat based, you could have like profited from it. You know, you could like, I just see like the opportunity cost of that kind of project like irks me. Now it's your time and your money and your effort. You know, you can do whatever you want with it, but like, I see that kind of thing as like, I fried this in, you know, coconut oil, refined coconut oil. And I made this like based Fallout 4 is like like you could just fry that in canola oil, guy. You know?
Yeah. 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 No, there's nothing. Yeah, it's not gonna like. Right.
Excuse me.
Right. Yeah. So was there? Oh, I didn't get to talk about monitors. Maybe we could do that and then wrap it up. I see this less ultimately as I don't know how many people care necessarily about I mean, I don't know how interesting your topic it is. Although I the more I've looked into it, the more I've found kind of fascinating. But the reason I'm talking about it is because one of my monitors died, and I've had to return like two monitors that wouldn't turn on and two monitors that were sold as like new, that one of them kept turning itself off and turning itself back on, and the other had just very noticeable panel defects. And it wasn't actually bad to the point where, but I was like, if I'm going to buy a new monitor, I'm going to pay money for a monitor. It's going to be like what I want it to be. And anyway, and I was wondering, it's an interesting, I don't know how much of it is. I think to me, it strikes me as, kind of an interesting index for, the way production was backlogged and messed up during COVID. One of the monitors I tried out was a monitor that was like, it was the super, it was supposed to be like the, basically the best monitor. That was the one with the panel defects, and it was on a significant sale, but I was like, it's still expensive, but I'm not going to, but it had the latest, you know, HDR technology with the different, you know, zones in the backlight. And it made my mouse cursor on a back when I had the HDR enabled, it made a halo around my mouse on like dark areas of the screen. And I like to use dark mode because everybody likes to use dark mode because dark mode's way better. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, people pay like thousands of dollars for this monitor that makes it in some ways objectively looks worse than monitors we had 20 years ago. And then all of these kinds of quality assurance and production type problems. I hadn't really, I guess, been in the market for anything like that that was like noticeably affected by this crazy global, just whatever you want to call it. I mean, the way in which it, you know, these special, highly specialized things that are really pushing the limit of what our technology can do. And yeah, it's just, everything's a fucking mess.
Also, I wonder, I can run this very quickly to Russia, Ukraine in a way that's not cringe or
sure.
Unrelated. If you want an example of why sanctions aren't working on Russia, like it's not a big deal for like the chip sanctions. Presumably when they cut off Russia from the global chip market, you would have imagined prices would have like crashed as there's all this supply now flooding the market.
Yeah, right, right.
But actually either those chips are still getting into Russia or Russia was not using many Western chips as we thought, because prices have, it had no effect. And you would think a major military industrial complex and consumer market, like Russians play a lot of fucking PC games. You would think like, you know, this would matter.
You know, there's a lot of PC games that are now like essentially banned, and you know, there's certain kinds of the sanctions have affected that market to some extent, but not really in any noticeable way. That's actually part of the story too, is everything's obviously in China and Taiwan anyway, for the most part, with that kind of stuff. But China in particular didn't do a lot of the branding, I guess, or whatever, putting the whole product together. And like, you know, the panel factory might be in Shanghai or whatever, but they would be assembled elsewhere in Taiwan, or they would have other stuff. But now there's just Chinese manufacturers that are just Chinese that are putting out product. And yeah, again, you know, Chinese plastic was a meme in the 80s and 90s. Hasn't been a meme for a while, but now it's not just Chinese plastic, Chinese whatever. It's like, it's Chinese fucking, you know, high-end monitors and actually quite sophisticated. So
speaking of the monitor problem in general for gaming and PC gaming, I have always been for PC game whenever possible, if I'm not using it on a laptop, which is more often than I like to admit, I'm a big advocate of like just run it on a TV, bro. TVs are big and they're like dirt. TVs are free.
So that was actually
like,
the
you can go to the TV store. Like they're giving them away for $100. You can get like the biggest TV.
So and actually like there was a lot of recommendation to that effect, because basically. To break it down, get like with the nitty gritty of it a little bit, the the big TV panel tech is OLED, organic LED, which is really awesome in all sorts of ways. One of the best, quote unquote, best gaming monitors just for gaming are also OLED, just like your LG TVs. And the problem with OLED is getting them small. Like, that's a large part of the problem why fancy phones are so expensive, is they have OLED screens and it's really hard to get them high resolution OLED that small. And there's basically nothing in between a phone or tablet size. And I think a 42 inch is the smallest OLED panel. They're trying to get them a little smaller, but if you can deal with having a 42 inch monitor, people were saying, yeah, app literally just use that as a TV, which I tried. I actually did. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. And I tried. The problem, you know what the problem is with doing that? I'd be curious if you could guess, because this blew me away. I had made several returns already. I think after my third or fourth return, I was like, you know what? Why don't I just try an OLED? You know what the problem is? Like a TV, an OLED TV. You know, guess what the issue is.
So I can think of a few. I know that some of them aren't optimized for gaming, so there's like a lag issue.
That can be true, but they have fast ones. So no, they have in fact really fast ones.
And then also there's, I think you could in theory, like, I guess, was it a 4K TV? Was it a 4K TV?
Yes. So you can go on.
I know you can, like, if you get like a $100 TV that's like really nice, it'll be locked at like 1080 or whatever. It can't go any better than that. So you're kind of like, you know, wheel spinning.
No, yeah.
What else? I'm trying to think what else it is there.
It's way more. You would never, ever, ever think. And I saw some people complaining about it. But I was like, it's not gonna.
Did you have to? No, take some adapter from HDMI to whatever.
No, you're getting closer because it is physical. So it's the sub-pixel layout. So LCDs, which includes most modern, anything that's not an OLED that's a computer monitor is an LCD basically. And the way that they're laid out is it's basically totally vertical. It's like three vertical lines, red, green, blue, in that order, each pixel. And so that's how if you like take a magnifying glass in your monitor, you can look and you can see red, green, blue, vertical lines. It's all in neat little squares. And Microsoft has at this point like 25, 30 years worth of experience optimizing text to display with for that pattern. And at 4K, it just looks just awesome. It's just incredible. You know, at 4K LCD text with clear type, it's like reading a newspaper in front of you. It's a very nice reading experience. I do a lot of reading. OLEDs, because of the, I don't, whatever it is that they did to get the OLED, the individual, because it's also each individual pixel lights itself and it has its own brightness, which is how you get these beautiful HDR. That's part of why I was messing with HDR in the first place, is like, oh, that sounds nice. And it is, it's awesome when I play HDR, you know, on your PlayStation, on your nice OLED TV, it's fucking great. And I was like, why don't I try to do that on my PC? Well, the answer is, like, it's not nice, neat little, vertical bars all in this extremely precise square grid pattern. It's some fucking insane, like, fifth dimensional, they're not all the same size. Like the blue, the green, the red are different. Some of them have separate white elements. Some of them don't. Each manufacturer is different. Samsung does it one way. LG does it another way. Everybody does. So number one, there's no optimization, period. Number two, like there's not really any way for there to be optimization without some insane, like, you would need a shit ton of math.
There's like the seed oil problem where you just, you have a fascist government decide a standard and it fixes it. If we win,
no, very much so. Very, very much so. Yes.
If we win, we can fix this problem.
Well, not only that. So there is one company. There's a joint venture between Samsung and I forget who the guy. And I learned all this because I'm like, why the fuck can I not get just a decent? I want high refresh 4K, like good for gaming HDR monitor. Why can I, like, it doesn't matter if I'm spending like $500 or $2,000. It's like not possible. It doesn't exist. So there's one company, JOLED for Japan OLED, that was a joint venture that got spun off between Samsung and LG or one of those other kind of companies that made OLEDs with the regular pattern, you know, the LCD style RGB grid, but they were like $6,000. And they're just like, obviously, immediately they declared bankruptcy a couple weeks ago. And so in the meantime, there's like literally no way. So Tex looks like ass. So that's why people don't like, if you literally only have a gaming PC that you literally only ever use to game on, great. But if you do any, even a moderate amount of reading, frankly, even just trying to read, you know, like the news, like New York Times, Wall Street Journal, whatever, look like ass, look like absolute dog shit on this monitor, which is a fantastic gaming monitor on a TV.
That's actually how the Wall Street Journal 5-10 feet away. That's how the Wall Street Journal just looks. Actually, you're totally wrong. The Wall Street Journal has always looked like that. The increase in screen quality is revealed what the Wall Street Journal actually looks like.
If you haven't seen it, that's a funny joke. I'm not.
It's like the sports casters with like the bad skin, you know?
Yeah. No. I get what you're saying, but also like, if you haven't tried it, go to like a Best Buy or whatever and go to an OLED. If they have an OLED, like quote unquote gaming monitor, go and like open up Microsoft Word and start typing and you'll see what I'm talking about. It looks like dog vomit. And I just fucking had it. So finally I got like a Dell. It seemed like not. And it's treating me well. You know, it's like at least it fucking worked. Two of the monitors wouldn't fucking turn on. I've never had an experience. And they weren't, those were, one of them was sold as refurbished. The other was sold as new. So you know, it's just been crazy. But finally, I resigned myself. I'm like, you know what? It actually seems like it just doesn't exist. This is what I'm looking for. Literally, doesn't matter how much money you want to pay.
Have you considered what all other Americans do and just like steal one from work?
But that, yeah, I mean, but that wouldn't be, you know, that wouldn't be 120 hertz 4K IPS that I. Yeah,
I think the best gaming monitor is the one you steal from your job
from work. Yes,
because they're not using it anyway, and it's been in that closet for a year.
So true, so true. But anyway, yeah, it's just been funny trying to.
I don't want to make the joke, but at my work there is a. I don't know if it's a gaming monitor, but it's like one of those with like the curve, you know, that's been like sitting there for since before I started working there. I'm like, I could probably just take this. No one would give a shit. I could just ask and take it, to be honest.
You could just add. I'm just, nobody's using it. I mean, just, you know,
I don't know what it is or what model. Yeah, it's missing. It's missing all the cables. Like the it doesn't have a power cable.
It was like $8. Oh, power. Yeah. Even power cables. Like as long as if it needs a like a power supply, that's a different issue. But and those are usually the really, you know, big fancy expensive ones that need.
I don't think it's that power supply that fancy. Yeah.
Even though the fancy ones have it built in, it just depends. Yeah.
It has also work inappropriate stickers from the previous owner of it. But like, so that's why it was tucked away. Like, it has like I don't know, the white trash nationalization of the American workforce, even like the American corpo workforce. Like, it's like why do you have a Playboy bunny sticker on your monitor, guy? Like on the back of it. Like, it's a bizarre thing to have. Like, who, like, I don't know.
I got a holographic Sneed sticker. That's way cooler.
Yes. Yes. It is funny to see the uniform of like the appropriate edgy stickers. Like, oh, I got a lot of brewery stickers on my work laptop. Like, okay, that's like, I have no stickers because once again, if you're signaling nothing, you're a secret Nazi. Like,
yes, yes,
yeah. I used to have like before I was a Nazi. I think I had some like edgy pro gun, not pro gun stuff because that's too edgy. But I had like the gun store. Stickers, you know, like whatever, like online gun retailer
sure,
sticker.
Yeah, yeah. Budsgunshop.com.
Like, no, it was like Brownells, you know, something a little classier. We don't shop at Buds. We shop at Brownells. You know, upscale. I think we did a good.
Yeah, that's probably a good place to call it. And yeah, I do. There's, I think, some Ukraine stuff to talk about, but it seems like it'll be more to talk about soon. So I'd rather leave that for then. So, yeah, in the meantime, hope you all had fun. It was great talking to you as always, and take care, everybody.
Countryside, the girls are eating more. worthless currency.